use you in ministry, and maybe you've responded like Thomas with fear and doubt. Maybe you thought, God can't use someone like me to start a P7 club or to teach a home Bible study because I just became a Christian maybe 6 months ago and I haven't even finished reading the Bible all the way through yet. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? God can't use someone like me in music ministry. I mean, I love music, but I've never played a note before. I've never sang in public before. Is there anyone here that has felt the prompting of the Holy Ghost to take a step forward in faith and instead has stopped frozen in fear? Maybe I feel like I should tell my classmate about Jesus, but what if they think I'm weird? Amen? Or God has said he would heal me, but what if? Pastor said that God will bless me with a job and allow me to be in church, and this job will allow me to be used in the ministry. But man, this job that works on Sunday pays real good. Amen? My youth leader said that I should trust God for a spouse that loves God as much or more than I do, but my ex-boyfriend wants to get back together. What if? I'm not making fun of us or our fear. And I've asked many of these same questions myself. But what I am saying is that everyone in this building has experienced this, has been there, or maybe you're there right now. Natural fears and doubts of the flesh will try to creep into our minds, and we're going to deal with that as long as we are still robed and as long as we are still walking in our flesh. But I'm here to tell you today that in the hands of a good God, you can find the power to overcome your fear. You can find the power to overcome your doubt. And you can step beyond that into the blessing that God has for you this morning. You cannot overcome your fleshly doubts and fears on your own. But if you take God at his word, and you take advantage of the greatest promise that he's given you. Where Luke says that if you ask him, he will fill you with his spirit. Something I've learned about God's promises is that God's promises, they do always come with an if. If you will do this, I will do this. But something that God's promises don't come with is if you do everything, I will do this. You see, for example, he says, if you will give your tithe, I will remove the curse. If you give your offering, I will open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing. But his word doesn't say that, well, that's the promise, but if you happen to be messing up in this area of your life, then that promise is now null and void. You see, there's many times where I would be a knucklehead in some areas of my life, but I would be continual in my tithe and in my offering, and God would still bless my finances. I would be a knucklehead in some areas of my life, but I said, God, I am not going to just settle for any wife. I want the wife that you have for me. Because this is the second most important decision of my life, as a great sermon of my youth camp days said. And I want to make sure I get it right, that this woman helps me get into heaven. I'm not just pulling her along. And God blessed me with that, even though I was a knucklehead in some other areas of my life. And when God says that all you have to do, all that my children have to do to receive my spirit is to ask me. God says, I want to pour out a blessing on you because I want you to be all in for me. I want you to, when you wake up in the morning, you want to do something for my kingdom. When you see someone in your school sitting off lonely in the corner, you don't just think of them as the weird antisocial one, but you say, man, I want to tell them about Jesus. I want them to meet the friend that I know. I want you to be all in. But the only way you can do that is with my spirit to overcome the doubts and the fears of the flesh. Before you can be all in, you have to be able to trust him. You have to learn through experience that when God says he will bless, protect, and deliver his children, he always keeps his promise. He is always faithful. John chapter 20, verse 6, and I'm reading in the Amplified Version, says, 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the doors that had been barred and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." See, when you want to get closer to God and you want to experience his faithfulness, and the enemy knows that you're getting awfully close to trusting him, the enemy is going to put some locked doors in your way. He's going to try to put some bars on those doors to keep you from Jesus. But nothing is going to keep Jesus from you. Nothing is going to stop him from kicking in that door and saying, "I am here, and I'm here to give you peace. I'm here to give you joy, because I'm a faithful God, and I love my children." The only one that can keep Jesus from you is you. No closed doors, no bars. But God says, "I want to use you. I want you to trust me so that I can use you to bless you, to bless your church, to bless your city, and to bless you and your circle of friends." But sometimes we get that fear and that doubt that says, "I can't do it. Who does God think I am? That these big plans," because, you know, God's told me some of those plans, and I don't know if I can do that. But God's saying, don't let your qualifications or your lack of qualifications and abilities, don't worry about that. Don't let that stop you from me. Don't let that stop you from speaking to your friend at work or speaking to your friend at school. Don't let that stop you from teaching a Bible study. Because God says, "I want to use you in spite of those lack of qualifications." He didn't call you for that. All he called you for is your availability. Yes, sir. He says, "If you'll be faithful like me, then I will bless you." You see, Thomas, he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And John 27, chapter 20, verse 27 says, "And then Jesus said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but stop doubting and believe.' And Thomas answered and said, 'My Lord, my God.'" 3.5 years, and it took him actually putting his finger in the nail prints and his hand in the side to say, "That is my Jesus." And Jesus told him, he said, "That's great that you believe, but there's going to be some people after you that I'm really going to bless, because they're not going to have to put their finger in the nail prints and put their hand in the side. And they're still going to say, 'God, my Lord and my God, I'm here to worship you. God, I know you're faithful. I've seen you working in my life.'" Jesus wants you to know this morning that he loves you. And I want you to know this morning that I serve a good God. It was about probably 4 years ago, I felt God tell me to start praying for peace, praying for joy. And I was curious, but I know joy and peace are good. I mean, but if God had said, "Hey, what do you want to pray for?" it probably would have started with a list along the lines of $100 million in a helicopter. My wife, she'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. She'll see me over there. "Why are you looking at airplanes at 2 o'clock in the morning?" I'm like, one day, you never know. Sometimes I get off in dreamland. And she says, "Why don't you just go to sleep? You know you're going to be tired. You know tomorrow around lunchtime you're going to be wishing you had these 2 hours of sleep back. But I'd like to dream." But God said, "I want you to just pray for joy and pray for peace." And I began to do that. And when I began to do that, God began to show me things in my life saying, "Hey, you know what? I know you weren't intending. I know it wasn't out of doubt or fear. But this is stressing you out. You need to give this to me." And he would show me and say, "Hey, some of these things that you're trying to take care of in your life, and I had just become a dad, some of these things that are worrying you about the future, don't worry about that. I'm in control." And I began to see his love through that, and I began to see his faithfulness. And I found myself on my knees in my hallway outside my daughter's room, just weeping and thanking God, saying, "God, thank you for your joy and peace." And I thank him for that because I know he loves me. He loves and cares about every single thing in our life. He cares about your hangnail. He cares about your illnesses. He cares about your bad book report. Right. He gets sad when you get sad. And he gets happy when you get happy. Because we're his children and he cares about us. I serve a God that loves me. I serve a God that loves my coworkers. He wants me to tell them about him. Not because he can't do it himself. Not because he can't show up and reveal himself. Not because he needs me, but because he wants me. You see, God wants to use us because when we allow him to use us, his blessings flow through us. He doesn't ask you to give because he needs your money. He's got all the money he could ever ask for, but he says, I want you to give because I want your heart to be right. I want to know where your heart's at. I want you to show those around you your faith. And when you'll give, I will flow blessings through you to keep giving. If you give, I know this isn't about money, but it's in the heart. If you're a giver and you give, God says, I want to make sure you always have something to give. If you're giving of your finances, I'm going to bless you. You keep on blessing the kingdom. If you give of your time, I'm going to bless you. You keep giving your time, I'm going to bless your relationships. I saw very quickly with my wife after we got married that I already kind of knew the money thing, and I already knew, you know, giving our time and devoting everything we have to God. But I began to see in our relationship, and this is the first time I bought a house, everything that we gave to him, he blessed. And I said, honey, you look at this. We give our tithes and our offerings, and he blesses us with a job. Right. And I'm like, that God is so good to me. Yes, sir. I never dreamed I would have the job that God has given me, but I still try to bless his kingdom. And you know what, honey? I said, God's blessing our marriage because we're opening up ourselves. We're giving of ourselves to the youth. And so God's blessing us with a good marriage. And we open up our home, and God takes care of our homes. We use our cars to haul people places, and God will bless our cars and keep them running. I tell you what, God has put me in touch with the most affordable but quality mechanic I have ever seen in my life. This man takes care of me. He takes care of the church vans. He takes care of my dad's car, my brother's cars. I tell everybody, hey, go to this guy. He will take care of you. He'll fix it. He'll show you the broken part so you know he's not scamming you. Try and get this man in church. But God blesses us. If you'll give your all, yes, he will take care of all that you have. Yes, he will bless everything that you give to him. And the scripture says he'll press it down, he'll shake it together, he'll run it over. If you want to give him a thimble, he'll bless it, right? He'll overflow it. You want to give him a 55-gallon drum, he'll bless it and overflow it. He said, I just want you to give yourself to me. I want to use you to tell your coworkers about me. Because I want to flow my word through you. I want to use you and your hands for healing. Because I want to flow my healing power through your body. He said, I just want you to give everything. He didn't call you to be a walking Bible scholar. He just called you to tell someone how much he loves them. He didn't call you to sing like Hezekiah Walker or top the charts like Torrin Wells. He just asked you to lead others in worshiping him. During music practice last night, Brother Gavin was telling the music team, I just want you to worship. Yeah. Right. It's not a performance. We're just worshiping. Right. We always tell our music team, hey, if you mess up because you're worshiping him, that's fine. Yeah. Do it all day long. If you don't sing a single right note, but you're worshiping him, that's all that matters. God just wants somebody who says, God, I'm here. Yes, sir. I'm here to worship you. He didn't call you to save your friends or your classmates. He just is asking for an introduction so he can do the rest. He didn't leave you alone to figure out who the second most important choice in your life is going to be. He didn't leave that to you by yourself, but he said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper for him. Right. Having doubt about your feeling, your healing and your finances, and he says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Jesus is concerned about every aspect of our life. Yes. Yes. Nothing is unimportant to him. Right. He cares. Yes. He cares about the betrayal of a trusted friend. He cares about those awful thoughts that pass through your head in your last bout of depression. And he cares about your hangnail. But he cares. Everything he cares. Because he's your friend and he's your parent. He says, you're my children, and I'll look out for you. God has showed me how important it is to be able to trust him. and to allow him to make choices in my life. There was no way I would allow God to give me a wife if I don't trust him. There's no way I can allow God to speak through me to somebody if I don't trust him. I can't tell them about somebody that I don't know about. I cannot show them a love that I have not experienced. But God says, if you'll trust me and you'll allow me to take control of your life, I will make a great, great promise happen in you. I will use you to change somebody's life. It's not you changing them, but it's you allowing God to flow through you. We had a young man in our youth group. When him and his family came to church, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And the doctors had all said that there was nothing they can do, that they had tried everything that they had. But their grandma was talking to a manager of Wendy's who goes to our church, and he told her about a God that still heals. And so she told the family, and they brought their child to an apostolic church in the hood of the west side of Cleveland and said, hey, you know what? God is working here. Yes. So they said, well, we've been looking for God. They believed in him. But they said, we've been looking for somewhere to worship him. We've been looking for somewhere where he's moving, where his presence is real. And so they brought the boy. We prayed for Logan, and the cancer began to recede. The doctors couldn't explain it, but the scans kept showing cancer disappearing from places that cancer had previously taken over in his brain. Wow. Thank you. God filled the entire family with the Holy Ghost. And shortly after that, they were all baptized. And a praise report came back that said that he was healed of cancer. They couldn't find it anywhere in his body. And the church began to rejoice and say, God is awesome. That God is doing what only he can do. And the doctors, they wanted to do some follow-up scans. And a report came back that the cancer had come back into his body. And one day in the youth class, it was right before Thanksgiving, we were sharing what we were thankful for. And shortly after they got the news that the cancer was starting to come back, his sister, who was in my class, said, I'm thankful for my brother. I'm thankful that even what he has gone through and what he is going through and seeing the cancer leave and then it come back in this whole time, he's still happy. He's still bringing a smile to people's faces. He's still showing the joy of God. And she says, I'm thankful for what I see in his life, and I'm thankful for what he's allowed God to do in his life. Amen. That's blessed our family. Yeah. Yes. And I said, that is so awesome that a 16-year-old girl can recognize that. And that in this family continue to trust God and say, God, you're in control. That's no matter what happens with our son, God, we know you love us. We know you care about us. It was shortly after that God decided to take Logan home. And while we were sad and the family was hurting and we were trying to be there for them, they continued to trust God and said, well, you know, at least he's no longer in pain. He's no longer going through this. And we're going to trust God to heal that missing part of our life. And sitting there in this funeral, I'll never forget sitting there at the funeral, and they said, we're going to play his favorite song. And they began to play I Can Only Imagine. When all I can do is worship you. When I'm surrounded by your glory, God. And I sat there and I began to weep and say, God, thank you for your love, that no matter what I go through, you are there and you care about us. And I began to think about this 14-year-old boy that had just been filled with the Holy Ghost 6 months ago. And to continue to trust God and allow God to use him and to use his situation. And to say, God, I know you're bringing something better out of this than just a healing. But you're bringing eternal salvation for my whole family. It does not matter how long you have been in church. It doesn't matter how much you know about God. All that God says is, I just want you to trust me. Yeah. That no matter what happens in your life, I can bring something good out of that. I can bring salvation out of pain. He said, I just want you to trust me. Whether you're raised in church or you've been in church for 5 years or 5 weeks or 5 minutes, you have the same Jesus inside of you that your pastor has. You have the same Jesus inside of you that Peter and Paul had. And God says, I just want to know, do you have the availability that they've given me? Because I'll use you.
That's right.
I'll use anyone that says, God, here I am. God, you are all. And I want to give my all to you. When I was preparing for this, for this sermon, I just felt God just kept saying, I want them to give their all, but they can't do it until they trust me. Till they know I love them. After you're healed of whatever hurt you may have gone through, God says, I'll heal you. But after you're healed, I want you to know, God says, I'm going to take away the pain, I'm going to take away the hurt, but what I'm going to leave in this place is the scars. I'm going to leave that on your body. I'm going to leave that on your soul. As Brother LJ said, he will forget all your past. He will put it as far as the east is from the west. It's never going to come back into his mind. But he said, I want to leave it there for you so you remember what I did for you. I'm going to leave the scars, but I'm going to turn those scars from a reminder of your hurt and a reminder of your pain. And I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them as a sign of your victory. I'm going to use them as a sign to remember the trust that you can have in me, to remember the faithfulness that I will give you every single day. Sometimes we hurt, but if we allow God to use our hurts to help someone, he will. You see, when we are in the hands of a good God, we can become the hands of a good God for those around us. That's all that God wants out of you, is to say, you know what, God, I'm going to continue to let you heal me. I'm going to continue to let you make me into your image every single day. And take this parts of the world that I've allowed to come into my life, take that out of me and fill it up with your grace and your mercy to others. I'm going to continue to allow you to take out anger and frustration and to fill that with joy and peace. Because God, I want you to make me someone that other people say, I want to be like them. Because people are watching our lives. And they're not going to want your God unless they see it in you.
That's right.
They're going to need to see a friend that cares about them before they know that there's a God that cares about them. They're going to need to see someone who says, you know what, I'll pray for you and means it. They're going to need to know that there's someone that when they pray, things happen. They're going to need to know that you can trust him before they can know that they can trust him. Let's stand together. All God wants out of you is someone who says, Lord, whatever you need, I'm going to make myself available. Sometimes when we're hurt, we can lose focus. As hurt people, we focus on being in the hands of God more than we sometimes focus on being in the hands of God to those around us. But until we can allow ourselves to be the hands of God, we're not able to help anyone know about him. And God has said, if you want to know what my heartbeat is, if you want to know what I want out of you, I want you to not focus so much on what you need from me. I want you to be able to trust that I'm going to take care of what you need from me, but I want you to focus on others. And I want you to focus on those people in your classroom, those people at your work that sometimes you're running late and you're trying to get in there on time. Sometimes you just rush past the people. And God says, but those are people I care about. I want you to notice them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to be a friend to them and to tell them about me. When you are the hands of God, you're not only going to have your scars, but you're going to bear his. And that's just to remind you that you weren't the first one to be hurt. You weren't the first one to go through pain. But he went through hurt and pain in advance to heal your hurt and pain. He paid the price a long time ago. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. You weren't the first to be hurt because he took those stripes so long ago. And this altar today, this altar is going to operate like a swap meet. You could come to here and you can give Jesus your hurt and he will in exchange give you his healing. You can bring your anxiety and he will trade you peace. You can trade him your past and he will give you his future. And if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, today can be your day.
Yes, sir.
I encourage you to take advantage of God's greatest promise and say, God, I want your Holy Spirit in my life. I want that power to overcome. I want that power to have peace and turmoil. I want that power to be a friend to my enemies. God wants to give you this gift, more so even than you want to receive it. Because it'll enable you to be all in for him. All you have to do to receive this gift is to tell Jesus, I'm sorry for the stuff I did that didn't line up with your word.
Right.
I'm sorry, God, for some times I let anxiety overtake my trust in you and peace. And say, God, I don't want to live that way anymore, but I want to live in a way that's pleasing to you.
Yes.
All you have to do after that is to say, God, I need your power.
Yes, sir.
God, I want your spirit. And when he gives you that gift that he wants to give you so badly, you will now have all of the power of the creator of the universe living inside of you. You will go from being just in his hands to being his hands.
Yes.
And he will begin to use you to be a friend to those that aren't really so deserving of having a friend. He will use you to bring healing where there is pain. He will use you to bring joy and peace to a world around you that is so lacking in it. He will use you to change your workplace. He will use you to change your school. And he'll use you to change your family. One of the great things about the Holy Spirit is that when God gives it to you, he brings it with it proof to overcome doubt. And you begin to speak in a language that you've never spoken before. Because when you get home, the enemy's going to try to tell you that that was just a dream. That didn't really happen the way you thought you remembered it happening. But when the enemy comes at you with that, you can say, but you know what? If I start talking to my God right now, he's going to remind me that he's with me. And you can right there in your bedroom, you can say, God, I need you right now. The enemy's trying to come at me when I'm not with my youth group and I'm not with my youth pastor.
Right.
The enemy's trying to come at me when I'm all alone. But God, I'm not alone.
Right.
I'm in your hands.
Yes, sir.
And he will show up every time because he's faithful and say, I'm here for you.
Yes.
And I love you. You can find joy in the hands of God. You can find peace in the hands of God. You can find protection in the hands of God. And you can find freedom in the hands of God. All he wants is your availability. And I want to open this altar up to anyone that says, God, I need your love this morning. I need your mercy this morning, God. Because you know what? Maybe I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I haven't given you my all. God, I want you to show me what's holding me back from giving you my all and help me to overcome that this morning. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, God says, I want to give that to you this morning.
Yes.
The time for seeking and the time for waiting, that's gone. But I want to give you my most precious gift this morning because it'll change your life. I want to make something different in you. I want to make something unique in you. I want to use you to overcome strongholds that the enemy's thought he's had a lock on for a long time. If you want to see that family member change, allow God to change you. If you want to see your workplace change, allow God to change you. If you want to see your school change, allow God to change you. And then let his power flow into your life. Amen. God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you, God, that you care about me when I don't care about me. I want you to use me, Lord, for your glory. I want you to use me for your glory, God. He's a good God, and he cares about you. He's a good God. He's faithful. He's just, and he's true.
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you. Lord, I
What a word we just heard. That if we will give ourselves to the Lord, and we will trust in Him, He'll do more than we think He can do. Not too recently, I began to read a book, and it was on Azusa Street. And it was specifically a book that was geared toward the teenagers that were there at Azusa. Now, many students in here may not know what I'm talking about, but Azusa Street was somewhat Titus wants it. Azusa Street was somewhat a modern-day Pentecost movement that happened in the 1900s. And I just want to talk to students for a minute, and you guys, Azusa, you will know what I'm talking about, where miracles, signs, and wonders happened all the time. It was a day-to-day occurrence. People would get out of wheelchairs. Some people would rise from the dead. It was just, they were expecting those things. It was expected. And I believe that it's time for our church, this church locally, and the church globally, to begin to start expecting those things. Because the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, it's just only the miracles. The preaching of the word of God is great, but the miracles were there to validate exactly what was being preached. And so I can't get up here and preach about miracles if they're not being done. Because if I do, then they should follow with some miracles. And so I want to talk to our students for just a moment based off of what you just said and put our money where our mouth is. Josie, would you come up? Josie went to the hospital not too long ago. I'm not going to say with a heart attack. I'm not going to say that heart attack. But gave me one. Gave me a heart attack. And remind me exactly what it is. I want to make sure I'm saying it right, please. Multiple blood clots in her lung. And a blood clot in our heart valve. But our God is able. He is. And so what He just preached, we're going to practice. Students, would you gather around? But first, wait. I want only if you for real have faith that she can be healed today. Because faith isn't tomorrow. Faith is now. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, when you have the faith and you lift your hands and you begin to speak, faith is now. It happens right then and there. So we believe that. Healings, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen today. So if you have faith, the Bible says all you need is just a little mustard seed. All you need is just a little bit, and He can do more. He can do more with that than you think. Yes, we got some people with faith in this room. Raise your hand if you got faith. If you're raising your hand, I want you to make your way over here to Josie, and we're going to lay our hands on her. And God is going to do the miraculous in this building right now. We believe that. We believe that. Won't you lift your hands? Won't you talk to the Lord? Right now, Pastor's going to pray. By faith, we pray. Right now, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and clap our hands like it's already done. God, we love you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. While we're here, anybody else need anything? Anybody sick in their body? Everyone's all good. No one got a cold? All right. Praise the Lord. Good word, sir. Good word. Very good word. If you will, for Taco Town. If you're coming to Taco Town, just after you've paid, after you've donated to the cause for Connect Student Ministries, just go ahead and find a seat anywhere you want to seat, and they will wait on you. Yes, I will beat you in basketball in just a moment. Beat you in basketball in just a moment. So yes, Taco Town to your right. Just have a seat once you have paid, or if you haven't paid, please pay before you leave. So that way, this is going to help our students go to a really big conference, NAYC. Anything I need to add? Yes, and food in the food pantry as well. So there's food on both sides here. You got food over to your right, you got food over to your left. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Again, Youth Weekend continues tonight. Our speaker is his brother, Nick Roberts, will be ministering to us tonight. Be blessed in Jesus' name.